God of all goodness, you did not spare your only begotten Son, but gave him up for the sake of us all. Strengthen within us the gift of obedient faith, so that in all things we may follow faithfully in his footsteps, and with him be transfigured in the light of your glory. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Okay. Receive the word of God and instruct those who are placed within your care. Children ages 3, 4, 5, and 6, please line up behind the children's liturgist.
Hear God's word deep in your heart, in your heart, in your heart. Hear God's word deep in your heart. Hear the word of God. Love God's word deep in your heart, in your heart, in your heart. Love God's word deep in your heart. Love the word of God.
A reading from the book of Genesis. God tested Abraham. God said to him, "Abraham." And Abraham said, "Here I am." God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering. On one of the mountains, that I will show you. When Abraham and Isaac came to the place God had showed him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Isaac reached out his hand and took a knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called Abraham from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." The angel said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham then went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will indeed bless you, and I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as of the sand on a seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gates of your enemies. And by your offspring shall all the nations of the earth gain blessings for themselves, because you have obeyed my voice." The word of the Lord.
Thank you. second reading is from the book of Romans, 8th chapter, 31st through 37th verse. If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies? Who is to condemn? Is it Jesus Christ who died and indeed who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. The Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus took Peter and James and John. He led them up the side of a mountain by themselves, and there he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining white, brighter than any bleacher could bleach them. And Moses and Elijah appeared with him, speaking to him. When they saw this, Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Now Peter didn't know what he was saying. He was so frightened. And just at that moment, a cloud came over them, and out of the cloud was heard a voice. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Then they looked around, and they saw only Jesus. And as they came down the mountain, Jesus warned them sternly to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man would rise from the dead. So they kept all these things to themselves, but they kept talking to each other about what to rise from the dead might mean. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Every human being has at points in his or her life experiences which dramatically change or alter life. These are experiences that bring a person to the edge. Experiences by which a person crosses a boundary that he or she never ever believed possible or even considered there. And this happens to individuals. It also happens to communities. These are called liminal experiences or edge experiences. Sometimes in the image of the scripture readings today, they're called mountaintop experiences. Or in the image of the Supper of the Lord, they've been called upper room experiences. Well, we have two of them put before us in the scripture reading today. Abraham and Isaac were dramatically changed on top of that mountain. As the story goes on, never again do Abraham or Isaac act without reference to the promise God made on that mountaintop. It dramatically changed their lives. Peter, James, and John were dramatically changed by what occurred on Mount Tabor. It would be hard to imagine that they could ever forget, and it's easy to imagine that as the story unfolds, as Jesus' life unfolds, as their lives unfold, they are brought back to that experience again and again and again. Liminal experiences can be immediately regained. Within the snap of a finger, a person can go back to that moment and not just remember it, but physically experience it. The smells, the tastes, the sounds, the feel. It is pivotal and transformative of life. Not only do individuals have experiences like that, but peoples do. Probably the most obvious one in recent history was the experience of all of us on September 11th. What began as a very normal day as people got up and got ready for work and went off to work very quickly turned into a very different day. A day in which most people felt that they were in some kind of altered state. A day in which events occurred that had never been dreamed of. And how many of us were mesmerized as we watched again and again and again and again and again that plane fly into that tower? Almost as if we couldn't believe it. There was almost no work done that day, as people were riveted to that moment. And if that happened to us who live 1,300 miles away, imagine the experience of those in Manhattan, in downtown, a short distance from those twin towers. As those towers came down and as that cloud of dust and smoke covered the city, and as that cloud shielded out all of the sun, something dramatic happened in the lives of millions of people. And there are adequate testimonies that are given to this day by people who say, "My life was radically changed that day. I saw life through different glasses. I appreciated life in a different way. I experienced the fragility of life. Once again, I was committed to the joy of life. I was shaken out of my ordinariness and I was catapulted into someplace different." And as a people, we continue to make reference to that day. It was in many ways the day we lost our innocence. Well, all liminal experiences don't have to be tragic. There are Olympic athletes who in their conversations over the past month have talked about the experience they had and how they believed it brought them to a new point in life. Astronauts talk about the experience of travel and of looking down and seeing this earth from a distance and how they have a whole new perception of who God is and who they are. Now those are dramatic, and all of us don't have the same kind of dramatic experience. But there are liminal experiences in life. And in those experiences, we come to a deeper understanding of who we are. And that's what happened to Peter and to James and to John. And that's what happened to Abraham and Isaac. They came to a profoundly deeper understanding of who they are. And an understanding of who they are in relationship to God. They saw something new. They moved beyond where they were. They would never, ever be the same. In the very, very beginning of the Scriptures, in the beginning of the book of Genesis, when we're told about the creation of human beings, we are told that human beings showed forth light. And then after the fall, we are told they did not show forth light. The image that the Scriptures have is they were covered with skin. Skin that shielded the light. Well, what happened on top of Tabor is the skin was peeled away. And what shined through was the transfigured image of the perfection of Jesus Christ. A human perfection. What Peter and James and John saw was their destiny. For you and I are called to the fullness of human life. A fullness of life that is manifest in Jesus Christ. I have said to you often, the incarnation not only reveals God to us, in the second person of the Trinity become a human, God is made tangible for us, but just as truly, in the incarnation, we are revealed to ourselves. In Jesus Christ, we come to a deeper understanding of who we are as human beings. We are made after the pattern of the Word made flesh. All things are created through Him and in Him to the glory of God. Well, that's what the church puts before us today. And every single year on the second Sunday of Lent, the story of the Transfiguration is told. Every single year as we walk into this season of Lent, we're only 10 days into it, the church wants us to remember that there is a destiny that we have, that we are called to a kind of life. And that in those liminal experiences of our lives, we sometimes see more clearly who we are and who God is for us and with us. It's in that faith and with that spirit that we gather to pray this day.